Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome back to Believe in Softball. I'm your host, Jenna Becerra, and today is the 50th anniversary of Title IX. There has been a ton of buzz leading up to it, and now it's here, which is pretty wild. And it's crazy to think that without that happening 50 years ago, would there even be a space for a podcast or for anything like this? The show probably wouldn't exist, but thank God it does, and thank you for being here. So first, some quick reminders for the show. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Believe in Softball. That's B-L-E-A-V. Believe in Softball is also on YouTube, so subscribe there. The video is pretty cool. It's a good place to be if you want a little bit of extra something every week. Okay, let's go through today's batting order. First, we'll cover our bases, give you some news and callouts from around the softball world. Then we'll head into today's interview with Laura Berg, one of the best representatives for our game that you could possibly think of, for many reasons. Super excited about that. Then we'll end things with the foul tip of the week, tips to help us keep going and get better. All right, let's get started. Covering our bases. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports development, including this year's basketball championship finals, the NHL Hockey Conference Finals, Major League Baseball, the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet online, where the game starts. And for us in women's sports, a lot of it started with Title IX. 50 years ago, it's pretty wild. There's been a lot of buzz, like we said, about this. But to be honest, what is Title IX? We've heard of it, we have a general idea, but not everybody knows the details. I actually educated myself on this a little bit more recently and learned some new things. And I want to share that knowledge with you today. So let's start with the basics. First, Title IX of the Education Amendments Act of 1972. This is a federal law that states, and I quote, "No person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any education program or activity receiving federal financial assistance." Boom. That is Title IX. It's just 37 words. That's it. But the key words in it are educational programs and activities. That is the part that affected women's sports. But I want to also just call out a few things about Title IX and the significance of it, really. So first of all, not everyone realizes that it is about more than just sports. Title IX, you know, as it relates to athletics, has gained the most public attention in that arena. But the actual law applies to every single aspect of education, not just sports. So think course offerings, counseling, financial assistance, student health, insurance benefits or other services, housing, marital and parental status of students, employment, and yes, physical education and athletics. So it is not just the sports aspect that gets a lot of attention, but it's really anything that goes around education. That's key to realize. Then it's also more than just women that this is about. The law requires educational institutions to maintain policies, practices, and programs that don't discriminate against anyone on the basis of sex, which, by the way, that's the title of an RBG movie, On the Basis of Sex. Highly recommend watching it to see the types of work that she did in this sort of space as well. But on the basis of sex, anyone. This means it's not just women, it's men too that can't be discriminated against. It's just that the elimination of discrimination against women and girls does obviously receive more attention because women and girls have historically faced more restrictions and barriers in education. But it's for everybody. Then it's also more than just money that this is about. I think a lot of people kind of think that that's the basis of it. That's not exactly correct. So the way that they look at this is the entire men's program is compared to the entire women's program. So it's not just one men's team to the women's team in the same sport. So like men's basketball and women's basketball. Title IX does not require the creation of mirror image programs like that. Men and women can participate in different sports based on whatever their interests and abilities are. So there can actually be variations in the type and number of sports opportunities offered to each gender. It is not a cookie cutter thing. That's an important clarification. It also does not exclude or have any exceptions for specific sports. No exclusions, no exceptions. It is open. The money piece really only comes in terms of scholarships, the amount of scholarships that are available. Otherwise, it is really just about equitable treatment and benefits. And essentially what that means is having the same level and quality of service, facilities, supplies, et cetera, for everybody. That all to me is really important for us to understand truly what Title IX is, not just things we've heard or maybe have like interpreted somewhat differently, et cetera. This is what it is. And in terms of tracking, it's like, how do you know if an institution is compliant with Title IX? Actually, you can just ask. In 1994, actually, the US Congress passed the Equity in Athletics Disclosure Act. And this requires all colleges and universities to report each year on athletics participation numbers, scholarships, program budgets, and expenditures, and coaching salaries by gender. So that information is available. Also important to know. So there's a lot of information out there and there's a lot more we could talk about, but that is really a summary of Title IX. And for me, there were some helpful resources actually on NCAA.org if you want even more information. But that is the snapshot. And my thoughts about this, I think the big concept to take away here is that Title IX is opportunity. As a former female athlete, I'll be honest, it wasn't really necessarily on my radar. I was just trying to get through practice and school every day, you know, like just trying to get through it and stay focused on what was right in front of me. But taking a step back, 50 years ago, a seed was planted to allow me and so many other people to do that in the first place. This is like a champagne problem. I'm stressed about my test and I have practice and all this equipment that I need to pack for our road trip. Well, it's a champagne problem that Title IX allowed me to have. And I'm calling it a seed too for a specific reason because there's been such a ripple effect for growth since then. It truly has grown. And this tree, let's say, representing women's sports and women in education is only going to continue to grow from here as long as we treat it as we should. And I think it's important to realize that this spreads beyond just college too. Yes, that's where it started. That's what Title IX did specifically was about education. But this ripple effect has created more opportunities for women across the board, playing professionally and internationally, broadcasting, breaking into men's sports. The effect that has come from this is just astounding. And you can think about this across women's sports. This is way bigger than just softball. Think about Billie Jean King playing Bobby Riggs in 1973 in the Battle of the Sexes. movie, actually. Another movie I recommend you watch to understand these types of nuances and how they played out when they first happened in the 70s. Then you look at, for example, the latest 30 for 30 from ESPN, the Dream On documentary talks about and really looks at the 1996 Olympic women's basketball team for Team USA. That journey was so interesting, and what the challenges they had to go through as women, but the comparisons to their male counterparts, but also just the grind that it is to be an Olympian, all of it. Really recommend it. Think about those types of things. And then even now in the today, Kim Ng, as an example, the first ever female GM in the MLB, but not only that, not only baseball, but actually in the four major American sports. A handful here of many, many, many examples that we could bring up. But all of these things, I still think are really tied to what the essence was of Title IX. And then for softball, today's guest, Laura Berg, boom. Absolutely one of those people that you would point to think about, like the women who came before and paved the path. And she and I talk about today, other women in softball who have changed the game in this way from her perspective and mine. But I think the key here is when we give women opportunity, women seize it. We have seen that year after year with the Women's College World Series and ESPN coverage. It's just bigger and bigger every single year. Visibility is all we need. We talk about if you see it, you can be it. Meg Aronowitz, who's really the one, the visionary behind this ESPN coverage for college softball, talks about you have to show it to grow it. It's a cycle, right? The more you do it, the more that will come out of it. And I just think if you give women opportunity, they're going to earn even more opportunity. But it's not possible without Title IX and the root and the intent of what it represents. And we could talk about this for days and days, but I just want to say thank you to the women who came before for everything. And thank you also to the women there today, here today, and the women and girls to come for being a part of this. I think when we support each other, that's one of the greatest things we can do. And support also means following along, keeping in touch with what's happening. And when it comes to the softball world, there's plenty of ways to do that this summer. Right now in the international scene, the Canada Cup's happening. You know, you might need to subscribe to actually watch the games, but you can follow along with the teams on social media. Like, for example, Team USA, the women's national team, they're sharing info on game days, including links and updates. Follow along with that. Support, right, in that sort of way. Paying attention to, like, hey, visibility's there. We're providing options and outlets for visibility. Let's pay attention to it. On the pro scene, AUX is wrapping up this weekend. Again, pay attention to those ESPN networks to watch it. WPF continues. Also, by the way, Jocelyn Allo had her pro debut. Plenty of hits that she was able to get. Not a big surprise. But USSSALive.com, another way to keep in touch and keep following that throughout the summer. We talked about both of those. In addition, Florida Vibe is another pro softball organization. You can get more information on them and how their games are stacking up this summer at vibesoftball.com. So take a look at that as well. And on the college side of the house, we've talked about this in the past on this show, the Florida Gulf Coast League. So fgclsoftball.com has a lot of information about this. Basically, it's a lot of your favorite college softball players are still playing in the summer. And now, actually, some of them who usually play against each other might be on some of the same teams. And they get that really cool experience in the summer to get them the reps and maybe even build their confidence up. That was my experience, which with a much less organized version of summer softball. But I love seeing it to what it's become today. You can watch that on gklive.tv. The specific link, actually, is pinned on FGCL Softball's Twitter page for easy access. So click on it. And we're going to cover all of this and more this summer, but just really important for us to continue to support because supporting means paying attention. And with that, in terms of the visibility and the broadcasting and all of these types of opportunities, there's a really cool thing that's happening right now. And this was something that was a pleasant surprise to me, but for the first time ever, Extra Inning Softball is recognizing the best softball broadcasters across the country with the inaugural awards called the Golden Mics. There are 9 different categories, and it covers both broadcast and radio. And we were just thrilled to see tons of representation from Believe in Softball. 7 believers were nominated this year for the first year ever. First, I'm excited to share that I was actually nominated in the breakout star category. I was excited, shocked, humbled. You know, for me, it's like, you just want to make some sort of impact. And so to see that, you know, maybe I have in some sort of way makes me really happy, because, you know, I think about as well the partners and the crews that I work with at Pac-12 Networks and Stanford Athletics, and they're just amazing talents and people. So I just want to say thank you for being awesome, because it all comes together because of the team. And we all know that as a softball community. And I'm also in some amazing company. It's an honor to be among this group, to be honest with you. And it includes people like Kat Osterman, who was also on the show in season one after she became Athletes Unlimited champion. No big deal. But she started calling games a lot more this season now that she's in retirement as a player. So she made that list too. Lots of past guests also nominated for other categories. There were four. So four out of the six nominees for Best Analyst have been on the show, which was really cool. Like, I thought that was really special. So Amanda Scarborough, Danielle Laurie, Francesca Enea, and Kenzie Fowler all made that list. So, so cool. Laurie was on in the first season of the show, Amanda Scarborough last year in season two, and then Francesca and Kenzie Fowler just recently here in season three. And so to see them doing cool things just warms my heart. And then, but hey, Francesca, a few nominations, local analysts, she also made that nominations list. The local booth was UCF made that list. So that includes Francesca, because that's, she works with UCF softball as well as Florida, in addition to her ESPN responsibilities. And then she works closely with Eric Lopez from In the Circle, who's a friend of the show. He came on last year as well in season two. He's also nominated for Best Call, which is also pretty awesome. That's kind of like the fun part, right? When we love getting to tell these stories when they're happening during the game, but when these exciting moments happen for you to be the one to tell it and to amplify all the feelings that are happening, awesome. So he got that on that list. And then Best Team Radio, Alabama made that list, which includes Gray Robertson, another guest back in season two, also the voice of Florida Gulf Coast League. So super exciting to see this. And the way it works is that the winners will be determined based on both fan voting on Twitter, as well as a group of experts will be weighing in. So a couple different pieces to it. Voting opens the day this episode drops, today, Thursday, June 23rd. And you know, I would love your support in voting, not just for myself, but also for the friends of the show, because it's really special to see so many of them doing amazing things. But you know, someone who knows what it's like to win awards and lots of them is today's guest. So let's head into the interview. She is the Oregon State Head Coach, 2022 Pacific Region Coaching Staff of the Year, four-time All-American and national champion at Fresno State, and the most decorated USA Softball Olympic athlete in history, Laura Berg. Hi, Coach.
Hi. Thank you for having me on.
I mean, I told you a little bit before we hopped on, but I'm so excited to have you on for multiple reasons. I watched you play as a kid, you know, following Team USA and everything. My senior year was the year right before you started as the head coach at Oregon State, but you were on staff, so got to compete against you a little bit in that way. And then covering you for Pac-12 Network and just in super regionals and everything was super, super fun this past year. So I'm thrilled that you joined us.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, and maybe we just dive right in, right? Because there's so many different directions we could take this. So
let's do it.
Let's get into it, right? Yeah. So the biggest thing recently that everyone's talking about, right? It's like, you have built this program for a decade at Oregon State. You make it back to the Women's College World Series for the first time in 15 years. Well, what I loved, because I also watched multiple press conferences with you, by the way, but I remember you saying at the World Series, like, you know, we're not just glad to be here, we expect to be here. And I love that attitude. And I would love, can you elaborate on what you mean by that and why that's important?
Yeah, you know, these guys come here, September 15th is the first day we're allowed to practice. And these guys, they work their butts off. You know, I know we aren't the only school that does that. Everybody, you know, has a goal set in the fall, and their goal is to make it to the College World Series. And that's what our goal was too, you know, and we expect it. It's not something that we hope for it. I don't believe the word hope should exist in sports. And it's something that you expect.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm a huge believer in that. You have to believe or expect, maybe expect is a good word too, that you can do something before you do it, right? And I felt like that was such a theme this year across softball in general and the college stage. But I just see that with Oregon State too, where it's like, no, like, I mean, yes, it's exciting, right? That it's the first time in a long time. It's exciting that we're able to accomplish these things. But like, this is where we always knew we wanted to be. This isn't new to us, you know?
Right, right. And, you know, confidence goes a long ways. You know, when you go out there and believe is a great word. If you believe that you can go out there and do it, you can achieve anything. If you're going to let people put, you know, limitations on you, then you're never going to accomplish anything in your life. And it's, you know, that's the negativity of the world out there sometimes. And sometimes you just have to put the phone away, stop social media, and just, you know, believe that you can do it and go out there and make it happen.
Yeah. And I love the way that you simplified a lot too, because that was another thing that would come up a lot in interviews. You'd get asked kind of, you know, always the same questions, right? So you give your thoughts on it, but something you would always say is like, you know, we're running 60 feet, we're turning left, playing catch, see ball, hit ball, right? Like that part I think is really important too, because it's easy to get kind of overwhelmed, like you're saying, with all of those external things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think as a player, it's simple. You know, let the coaches do the more difficult things. Let them make the decisions. Let them, you know, do the game planning and all of that. You just go out there and do what you do since you were six. Like you said, go play catch, see ball, hit ball, and that's it. It really is that simple.
Yeah.
I'm a woman of few words, just so you know.
Yeah. Well, then, I mean, podcast, perfect, right? I'm just going to be like pulling it out of you today. But I kind of like that though, right? Because I think sometimes we overcomplicate things. And softball is so easy to do that.
Well, that, I mean, it's a game of you hit a round ball with a round bat and you're asked to hit it squarely. And then you start throwing in analytics and you start giving, you know, all of this information to people. Some people, it's over analysis paralysis type thing. And information is great if you know how to process it and use it. Right. It can be bad if you overthink it. And that's what we tend to do.
Yes. Honestly, I definitely did that in college. Just full transparency. And honestly, some of my teammates too. I think that was actually a theme for us kind of during my time at Stanford. It's like super cerebral kids, right? You get a little bit like too in your head and you overthink things. And it's like, well, sometimes we need to stop thinking, you know?
Right, right. And the biggest thing with these guys, I'll just tell them like, what's your favorite song? And they'll tell me their favorite song. I'm like, when you're in the box, you just got to sing it. Just, you know, your game plan, you already have it set before you get into the box, then just sing your song and execute it. And that's it. That's what I did. So it worked for me, and it's going to be different, you know, for everybody. It could be a phrase. It could be, you know, a focal point. It could be anything.
I really like that. I really like that because it's funny, you know, I've talked with people about like their walk-up songs and things like that. And back when I played, I thought that it had to be this, like, we didn't have walk-up songs for the record. We weren't allowed, but the pre-game playlists and things, It was like, oh, let's make it all pump up. And somebody mentioned, it was actually Taylor Gindelsberger on Stanford's team, that she actually picked a song that helped her relax at the plate versus like, you know, get her. And it depends on your personality, right? It's like, do you need to be brought down a little bit? Do you need to be pumped up a little bit? Like, how does that work?
Right.
But I like what you're saying, where it's like, well, sing your favorite song. It feels like that kind of vibe to me as well, where it's like, well, just get in the place that you need to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And Taylor brings up a good point. You know, your emotions, your heart rate is already going, you know, have a slower song to kind of slow you down a little bit. I think that's fantastic. She is a baller. That kid can flat out play and run. But I think I had Jewel. Jewel was my song that I would sing. I don't know. Weird, but yeah.
That was going to be my next question. Like, okay, so what was it? But that's, hey, whatever works.
You were meant for me. How weird is that? Jewel. Totally weird. I don't know.
Whatever works is all, that's works. All that matters, right? Like, and it worked clearly. So we're on board with this. But okay, you're talking about just ballers and people who can flat out play. I mean, I have to ask and talk to you about Mariah, because I will say this, and I'm preaching to the choir. I think I'm preaching to the preacher, actually, when I say this, which is so many people are kind of like just discovering her this year or calling her this like new star, right? But those of us that follow the Pac-12, follow Oregon State, know this. It's like she'd been around for years. Like this is something that didn't happen overnight by any means. Same with the entire program and the success you guys had. I remember you saying you felt strongly about, you know, Team Mexico and the pro leagues and how, hey, they missed an opportunity here with Mariah. But just your thoughts on sort of her, because I feel like she actually, you know, encompasses a lot of what Oregon State's all about, at least from an outsider perspective.
Yeah, Mariah is just, she's one of those kids that she's hard-nosed. She knows what hard work is. She knows what's going to help her be successful. I remember her freshman year, and my office faces the intramural fields. And, you know, I can look out my window, and she's throwing a bullpen in the rain. And it's like, wow, this kid, she gets it. She knows what it's going to be, what it's going to take to be successful. And she took, as you can tell, we had 15 freshmen. Yeah. She took a lot of freshmen under her wings and kind of guided them through, okay, this is what the Pac-12 season is going to be like. There's going to be some ups. There's going to be some downs. There's going to be some bumps and bruises. And you just kind of ride the wave and get hot when you're supposed to get hot. And, you know, we're going to be successful. Buy into what's being taught and we'll be successful. And Mariah, her first couple of years, she just wanted to focus on pitching. And then she figured, she was like, okay, I can help us at the plate. And boy, has she helped us at the plate. That kid is so strong. I mean, sometimes the ball comes off that bat and I don't even see it come off the bat. It's just like, wow, holy heck. So it's, yeah. You know, I wear a skull cap for a reason. So,
you know what? Yeah. I was going to ask you about that because I love the just like classic, you know, like head coach. It felt like a baseball, like, oh, there's a skipper over there at third base, you know, and no. I like it. I like that look.
My mom made me promise to wear it. I almost got hit and I don't know how I didn't. I almost got hit at the Marionetter. And my mom was in the stands, and from that, she made me promise to wear it. And so, you know, our moms, I have to do it. Yeah.
Moms know best. We all know that.
You know, and, you know, we tell our players they got to protect their head, you know, why wouldn't we? So we're just as close as they are, you know, why wouldn't we want to protect our heads too?
True. I mean, you're like, it's the hot corner, basically, over there, right?
And I'm an outfielder, and I don't have those reflexes like a third baseman, so.
True. You're not going to drop step on a line drive. Yeah. Makes sense. Makes sense. Well, I mean, yeah. And then you said it with people like Mariah, Frankie, you know, in the lineup, it's like, let's not take our chances here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess another question is like, what do you think we can do as a softball community to make sure that great players like Mariah and programs like Oregon State are not just kind of like overlooked during that process leading up to, you know, what you guys did this year, for example?
Yeah, I think ultimately it's going to come down to the Pac-12 networks. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the SEC did a great job of partnering up with ESPN and getting the coverage out there and getting eyes on the schools in the SEC. I think the Pac-12 networks needs to do something like that to be able to get eyes on kids like Mariah, kids like Frankie, kids like Sarah Hindigas. Yeah. So they can actually see, you know, the kind of ball players they are, you know, Sis Bates, amazing ball player. You know, the list goes on and on. Gabby Plain. So I just think that the higher ups need to be able to do something with ESPN.
Yeah. Well, and I think that became clearer in the sense of it's like, hey, look at all this that's going on the West Coast. We all know this. But maybe folks in other parts of the country didn't. And then all of a sudden it's postseason and the Pac-12 is just like coming out with a vengeance, you know, and no one else is surprised. Like no one in that world is surprised.
Right.
But everyone else.
And then you got game times too, you know, ours sometimes have game times, you know, not every cable package carries the Pac-12 networks. And then you have game times on top of it where sometimes it's 7 p.m. Well, it's 10 p.m. on the East Coast.
Right.
And so, you know, people got to get up and go to work or, you know, what have you. They're not going to stay up for a 10 p.m. game.
Right. It's tough. It's tough. I lived on the East Coast for a little bit and I was like, wow, these times are not as fun as on the West Coast. I understood because I used to complain. I'm like, stay up and watch the games. And then I was over there and I was like, ooh, it's harder than I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think one cool thing, though, is actually speaking of the West Coast, the fact that Athletes Unlimited, AUX, is in California right now, which is awesome. But getting to see Mariah have her pro debut, I remember you saying, you're like, hey, I can't believe she wasn't drafted already, right?
Yeah.
But how has it been watching her on that stage?
It's weird watching her in a different uniform. I can tell you that.
Fair.
But it's fun to watch, you know, fun to get her out there and compete. I texted Sam Fisher, you know, how you know, first game went. And I know Tori Vidalis kind of welcomed the rookie the proper way into the professional league, which is like, hey, you know.
That's how it is.
Don't miss over the wide of the plate. They're going to make you, feel the damages. And so she learned quickly, and Mariah is such a fast learner. She'll adapt. I know she's done a great job. I watched the games the other day. She went 3 innings, you know, without giving up any runs, a couple hits, no walks, some strikeouts. So it's been fun watching her. I'm just waiting to see when she's going to grab a bat and get in there and show her what they can do at the plate.
I can't wait for that because, okay, I love two-way players. Everyone who listens to this knows that about me. But with Athletes Unlimited in particular, it's like, oh my gosh, the points you could rack up, right?
Oh,
like
sure.
It would be awesome. I can't wait for that moment either.
Me too. Yeah. Eventually someone's got to give her a shot to be able to put a stick in her hand and she'll show them what she's capable of.
She definitely will. I mean, it only took her a couple days. Yeah, sure. Of course. You're right. It's like the welcome to the big leagues kid moment. And then after that, you settle in and that's how it is.
Yep.
And she was like MVP one a couple days later, you know, it's like,
that's
hey,
awesome.
Isn't that so cool? So cool. Yeah. And of course, you know, the Pac-12 representation, I always appreciate too, because I think, you know, to what already said, it's like, there's a lot of talent. And so it's nice to see the visibility there.
Absolutely.
That's a cool thing actually about the conference as well. I mean, obviously Trisha Ford just took the job at A&M, but just having the all women, you guys are all women leading your teams, leading your programs. A good 2/3 were, you know, alums too at their alma maters. But even so, it's like with you, with Coach Lombardi also, it's like you guys played and you get it, you know, and you're paying it forward. And I think that's so cool and a really cool thing about the conference.
Yeah. Trisha Ford broke my heart by leaving. She's, you know, I have a good time with her. I got to coach on the junior teams with her. We're competitors and we, you know, are good friends and, you know, but want to kick each other's butt on the field.
Of course.
But, you know, good for her. You know, that program got a great coach. But like you said, having all women, you know, coaches in the Pac-12 is pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Shoot, I don't even think it was that way when I played. But, you know, softball has given so much to us as athletes that we want to be able to pay it forward, pay it back, and give back to the game that gave us so much.
Yeah. But I think that's why I love it so much, seeing you guys do this, because I'm like, wow. It's just more meaningful in a way where it's you played the game. You know what it's like to walk in these shoes and this path. And now you're continuing to just pay it forward. Would you say it's paying it forward or giving back? How would you categorize that?
I think it could be maybe a little bit of both, you know, Gary Henning, you know, was my hitting coach. He never charged me. He would take time out of his Friday nights, meet me at the batting cages with me and my dad, and for an hour be out there with me. And not one, did he ever make money off of that?
Yeah.
So to be able to, you know, kind of give back to support for that, I feel is paying it forward. But also, you know, the people that I got to play with and the friendships that I've made, the places that I have traveled to, my education being paid for, you know, it's also to me giving back as well.
Yeah.
You know, and there's nothing better than working with young women and develop them, you know, not just on the field, but off the field as well, kind of get them ready for the real world and what to expect. And if they want to be coaches, to help them and mentor them into becoming a coach and not necessarily a coach like me, you know, take what it is that you like, don't use what you don't like. And that's what happens when you work with several coaches. You take what you like and you leave out what you don't like.
Yeah. Actually, that exact approach is how I sort of like, quote unquote, figured it out hitting wise my senior year of college, was because I, you know, you listen to a whole bunch of people, you take in the information, but it's like what you said, figure out what fits and works for you and then put it together and make it your own. And for think, yeah, that's a life lesson. Like it applies to basically anything you ever do. So I love
that. Yeah. And that's what like makes this game so great too. Like nothing is written in stone. You have one way of fielding a do or die. And then there's also another way of fielding the do or die. You work, you pick what's efficient for you and what works for you. And that's, again, that's what makes this game so great.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But that's, see, that's what I like about, you know, quality coaches too, is that it's not a cookie cutter type of approach to anything right. that you do. Right. And I guess I would ask you too, just in terms of your coaching style, like there is, I don't know if people always realize how many hats you have to wear when you lead a program, right?
Sports psychologist, teacher, mother, coach. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Totally. And it's like, you are managing, you're almost like, you're basically the CEO of the program, right? Yeah. So it's like, you're managing everything. Not only are you managing the development of the players, but the development of your coaching staff, trying to put people in the right places. Like you're almost like a manager and a coach and a teacher. Like there's just so many different parts. What part do you think you lead with, that sort of coach teacher part? Or are you kind of on that like management level, trying to put all the pieces in the right place?
The coach teacher part.
Yeah.
You know, I have an incredible staff and I trust my staff tremendously, and they have been amazing to allow me to be able to go off for 8 to 10 years to do USA softball. They recruit during the summer. They get the kids in here that can help make a difference. And I love them for that. I have so much fun with my staff. And so, Eric, this is what you do. You're hitting, you're infield. I obviously didn't play infield. You got the reins. Yeah. How about it? You know, we'll discuss like philosophies as far as like first and thirds and butt slap defense and stuff like that. And we'll,
totally.
You know, play things off of each other. I'll bring things from USA softball and be like, hey, how about this? Let's try this. Let's look at this. And, you know, no, he'll give me his thoughts and opinions. And, you know, same thing with Marcy Green, with the pitchers. She's got the most difficult job in the world, dealing with the people in the circle. But again, I don't know one thing about pitching other than don't play with your food.
Yeah.
That's all I know. So I'm not going to go out there and try and coach pitching. I don't know anything. So have at it, coach.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess the thing that's consistent is like the mentality, like that's part of the game. Like you said, you're a mother, you're a psychologist, you're like all these things that kind of works for everybody. And of course you apply it in different ways depending on the kind of person that the players are and all that stuff. But yeah, it makes sense. Sometimes it's about strengthening around you. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I can say one thing and the kid doesn't get it, but Coach Leba says something similar, but in a different way, and she gets it. And that's okay. It's not frowned upon on me. It doesn't say that I don't know what I'm talking about. It is just said differently to where this kid gets it from him, and that's okay.
Yeah. But that's key, because I feel like another part, and you tell me if you agree with this, but this is from like the player perspective, from my experience, some of the best coaches like really remove the ego out of the situation in that way. Cause they're like, yeah, it's not about me. I just want whatever's best, whatever gets it done. It doesn't have to be
me. Right. Right. Ultimately, what it comes down to is the players. You know, I'm a has-been. My cleats have been hung up for a very long time. And, you know, it's now them. It's about them and their experience. And we want them to have the best experience they possibly can have.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've done a good job of that. Especially this last year is a great example. Like you said, 15 newcomers. That's wild. Like I had never, I don't think, seen that before, where it's like that many new people. and look what you all did. And I say that because it's like the culture part of it that you're able to build in such a short time. That is not easy. It takes people years, you know, to like build, I think, what you guys had together this past season. So I was very impressed by that.
Thank you. We sat down in September and I gave them my ideas about a culture, but I wanted to hear what their ideas were. And they were just shooting ideas out. And they knew before coming in on the 15th that they were going to have some ideas. And I was like, I want to know what your culture, what it is you want. You freshmen came here saying you want to change the culture. Okay, well, what is that going to look like? What is it? And they talked about it. We had it out. And I'm like, okay, it's one thing to talk. Now you got to show it. You got to show it. You can say, you can hold me accountable. But then when somebody does and you get hurt about it, that's not living up to the culture that you're talking about.
Right.
So, and sometimes they kind of veered off of it and you had to rein them back in. But for the most part, they did. They lived up to it. They lived up to it. This team is flat out funny. I have a good time being around them.
Yeah. I'll say it was awesome seeing all of the alumni support also at Super Regionals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The field at Stanford is a beautiful field, and it's quite smaller than the College Bowl series, mm-hmm. but it was louder.
Yeah.
It was louder. I have never had the intensity on that field was incredible from both teams and then both fans. Oh my gosh. It was intense. It was cool. It was very, very cool.
It was so cool. I'm getting like a little bit of goosebumps right now thinking about it because it was awesome. You know, it's all the things, right? It's like, oh, it's the first time since blah, blah, blah for both teams that they've been here. It's a Pac-12 like head-to-head thing, like so many parts of the storyline, but just when it came down to it, it was like, you know what? It's just the support systems of both of these teams. Mm-hmm. I feel like the energy in the dugouts and then the fans, like they fed off each other on both sides. You're totally right. It was the loudest I'd heard in a while in a stadium.
Right. Stanford just did an incredible job hosting that that Super Regionals. Everything about it was absolutely amazing, from the workers working the field and the ticket people, everybody, you know, just were very accommodating. And, you knew it wasn't going to take long for Coach Alistair to do amazing things with that program. So it was fun to be a part of.
Yeah. Well, I loved that. For me, it's sort of a full circle moment because the last time Stanford had hosted any sort of postseason was my junior year. But the last time it was Supers was my freshman year, and we had played a Pac-12 team too. We played Arizona that year, and it just brought back all the memories. And I loved it though, because I remembered the same thing. I felt like that energy, and it was just nothing like it. You couldn't compare the rest of the season to that.
Right.
And I felt that again. And so I was really excited for all the current players, like Oregon State and Stanford, to experience that feeling. And then obviously you guys got to go to OKC too. So. which is the best. I think that's another thing where I wonder, you know, how do you feel about the sort of difference, or is there a difference, or what are your thoughts on that experience when you're in Oklahoma City or you're in the Women's College World Series, and then even like the Olympics, right? And you've done these things as a player and as a coach. Like that must be a crazy, talk about full circle moments.
For sure. For sure. I mean, it's for college softball, the College World Series, the ultimate. It's like the pinnacle. It's where you shoot for your 4 years to go every year. And to be a part of it as both a player and a coach, I mean, it is a huge difference to what it looks like now versus when I played. But it just goes to speak for our sport and, you know, the progress that has happened through our sport. 12,000 people at the games in Oklahoma City is pretty intense. Pretty cool. I think we had 10,000 in 1996, the Olympic Games. And so, it's with the Olympics being every 4 years and you're representing your country. I mean, that is just, that's an experience that I will never, ever forget. I'm extremely lucky to be able to participate in four of them because they all have been very different in their own right. I am heartbroken, devastated that we are not in the Olympics again. It is unbelievable to me that we are not in it. because of the experience of each one of them being different, you know. Yeah. The Haley McClennies should be, you know, in three or four Olympics. The Kat Ostermans, you know, the Monica Abbotts. I know she's been in two, but now may have possibly have to wait another 8 years for it, you know. The Janie Reeds and Sis Bates and, you know, kids like that should be able to experience three or four Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And it feels like actually softball's growing quite a bit, starting to in Europe. So we're talking about like 2024, like being in Paris and everything, but it's like, it felt like actually an opportunity as well in that way. And it's disappointing for sure.
I thought for sure. Yeah. Yeah. For sure. We would be in it for 2024 and 2028 for sure. I was getting ready to bet money on it.
Yeah.
And it just, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't bet money because I know that's against the rules, but.
Just to clarify NCAA, yes. In case you're listening. Just a figure of speech. But I'm with you, though. For 2028, it's in L.A. We have to. Come on. We have to.
How do you not have it?
Yeah. And then even Australia after that. It's like.
Right?
Yep. Come on, guys. Yeah. Yeah. I was really excited to see it back in Tokyo. I mean, I can't even imagine. Like, I've talked to some of the folks you coached, like Aubrey Monroe and like Kat and Monica, some of these players who experienced it, and also for Team Mexico and some of the other teams who were there as well. And it just, the obstacles that the players and you guys as a staff, just the whole team had to face leading up to it is unreal. So you talk about everyone being different. I mean, Tokyo was really different.
Oh man, there's a good part of it and a bad part of it. The good part is there were the Olympics. We were in it. For a long time, we did not know we were going to be in it or not, if they were going to completely cancel it. The bad part was like every game was sold out. Like 30,000 people that were going to be in that stadium. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen a game on TV in Japan. Like, they love their softball. I mean, they got these things and they bend them together and it gets so loud and they love it. They absolutely love it. And we've been there when, you know, we've had 20,000 people in the stands at the Tokyo Dome. We've been there when, you know, there are a ton of people. And so that part, and what makes me sad too is family. At least they should have allowed family to go, because they're a part of the ride. They're there during the ups and the downs and the blood and the tears and the joys and everything that this great game, you know, brings with it.
Yeah.
They should have been allowed to have gone, because they're a huge part of why where we're at.
Yeah. That was the hardest to watch. Not having been like involved in it, just to see that not being able to be the case.
Yeah.
Was tough. But Aubrey talked
on
about
the other
this.
End of that, like they would have been 30,000 people rooting for Japan against us.
True.
You know, if you want to look at the silver lining, you know, that could possibly be one that you look at, to where we didn't have to deal with 30,000 people screaming at us and rooting against us.
That's a good point, because you're right. They would have showed up. I've never been to a game in Japan, but I've had a lot of folks come on who have talked about their experience playing in that pro league too. And
yeah.
But again, an opportunity. It felt like, right. It was like, oh my gosh, what a homecoming this will be for softball. Right. And then nothing goes according to plan, but that's kind of COVID in a nutshell at the same time.
Yeah. That's life sometimes. So you gotta take what you can get. And, you know, the Japanese do it right, you know, with their professional league. They're onto something there, and I'm hoping that maybe we can catch wind on what's going on over there.
I hope so too. I mean, seeing the MPF fold was obviously really sad, disappointing. But seeing Athletes Unlimited doing what it's doing, seeing the WPF now as well that has started, and some of these other things popping up, it's. I'm glad just to see that that's an option still.
For sure.
But I know that there's also this desire. I've talked to folks like Jessica Mendoza came on the show. She talked about this, of having a little bit more centralized. Pro opportunities though, so that, you know, everyone's sort of working together versus sort of in these silos. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree 100%. You know, you start to divide things up a little bit, and then that starts to divide the money, or that divides the fans, or it divides, you know, TV time and, you know, things like that, to where people don't even know that there's, you know, the professional league on the East Coast. They know AU because it's on TV, But, you know, I agree 100% with Jess. We've got to start putting our eggs in one basket.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there, I mean, we see what can happen with the viewership. It's constantly, every year, it's like record numbers, ESPN, record attendance at the World Series, record this, record that. And then it's over. And then we have pro in the summer and there's just a huge drop. And it's like, we know we have the product. Like, we know we have the things in place. We just need to figure out how to bring it all together.
Right. Right. Yeah. And do we get, you know, Major League Baseball involved? Can we get them involved to help? Kind of like the WNBA, like, you know, I don't know what the right answer is, but Japan apparently has the right answer.
Right. So let's take notes. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Not above that. Would love to learn from other people, you know?
Like, for sure. For sure.
They're doing it right. But okay. But you mentioned like some of your teammates too, that you got to do a lot of these experiences with. And so I think about the moments that you had with Caitlin Lowe too at the World Series, which were awesome. I love how you guys were both asked. I think Holly Rowe asked you both like, okay, who's the better outfielder? And Caitlin was like, are you kidding? I'm not answering this question. I love Fergie. I love, you know, playing with Jess, and I like playing with Kelly Crutchman, you know? But you right away were like, Caitlin Lowe, like right away. I was just surprised. I felt like that was like very gracious and classy and awesome of you, but also like crazy because you're literally one of the best to ever do it. So,
well, I think I have so much respect for her, and I loved playing with her. You know, she was a great teammate. We had a lot of fans. We were in the same van. It was Jenny Topping, Bustos, Andrea Duran, Caitlin Lowe, myself, and we would pull pranks on the other vans when we were at the Canada Cup, throw tomatoes out the window at the other ones that were passing by us. I mean, just some crazy fun stuff. But I love being out there on the field. She's a competitor. She plays the game the way it's supposed to be played. A lot of passion. Her fundamentals were incredible. And, you know, even watching her, I'm like, oh, you know, even as, you know, you can teach old dog new tricks. And so, you know, I'm watching her and I'm like, oh, I like how she's doing that. I'm going to try it. And it worked for me. And, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are in the game. There's always something new to learn.
Yeah. Well, that's what I liked about when you were chatting about your coaching approach as well. Like you're saying, like, even 10 years in, right? You're like, all right, guys, what do you want to make the culture to your players at Oregon State, right? And it's, I appreciate that because that's that growth mindset, right? And we all, it's easy to talk about having that sort of approach, but it's harder to actually do it. And so that's really cool. That
you expect the players to learn and to grow every day, you know, that 1%, get better 1% every day. You should expect that of yourself as well as a coach, as a person, as, you know, a family member, get better every day. And will we take a step back? That happens. That's life. But as long as you pick yourself up, dust yourself off and move forward, then, you know, it's okay to make mistakes. It's going to happen. Yeah. But I can't expect these guys to get better if I'm not going to get better. Mm-hmm. You know, for a long time I have, you know, the old school mentality, you know, no tattoos, no piercings, no, you know, this, no that. And society, and I had a great conversation with Jenny Topping, society puts women in a box. And I'm like, why am I doing this? Why am I putting them in a box of know this, know this, know this, look this way, look that way? I'm like, let them be them. Forget this. You know, I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to get over this, you know, professional look, you know, that we have. And it's, you know, the way of the world now. And so now I need to like grow and stop putting them in a box. And so hopefully that, that helps them.
I felt that just as somebody watching and like covering Oregon State, I felt that with the players. Like I felt like you could see the personalities of the different players. Nobody felt like, while there might be some things that are definitely consistent, because I'm sure it's like, right, like a team value to hustle, right, or something like that. But you could see just their different approaches, like the individuality was still there, which I think that's such a, it's a hard balance sometimes to strike, but you could see that clearly.
Right. It's that balance of being an individual in a team sport.
Right.
You know, because ultimately you are in that box by yourself. So you're that individual, but at the same time, you're doing it for your team.
Right.
You know, you aren't the one on second base to hit in, that is your teammate. And right. So, you know, it's trying to get them to understand it's individual sport, but at the same time, it's a team sport. And you can have your nose ring. Give me a good reason as to why, you know, you should be able to wear your nose rings. And they did. They gave me a good reason. And I'm like, okay, well, dang it. That's a good reason. So you guys don't have to take those out or cover them up anymore. And so I think it kind of opened the door for everything else.
Yeah. Well, softball to me and baseball, right, are interesting with the balance that you're talking about, like the individual and a team sport, because of course there are individual stats and things like that and a lot of other team sports. But when you're hitting, especially, it's like really in that moment, all eyes are on you a little bit more than the whole team. Because even if you're in basketball, let's say, and you're shooting a shot, okay, but your whole team's still on the floor, right? But no one else is in the box. It's just you. So it is this, like, I feel a unique kind of thing in our sport to manage. Yes.
That's what makes it so great.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. Well, and actually this kind of thought process you're talking about where it's like you have sort of this veteran experience, like you and Caitlin, for example, but then you are paying it forward now in a new generation and a different type of game. Like in some ways, like you said, it's changed a lot. Mm-hmm. So for to see you guys hug after the game too at the World Series like that was to me, I was like, this just feels it might have been small, right? Like just a couple seconds for you two. Mm-hmm. But to me, it was like, here are two of the best outfielders ever, you know, your former teammates, your women supporting women in that moment. Like you are women who are leading, right? Which is also really important. It just felt like a really important 2 seconds.
Yeah. You know, like I said, you know, I think the world of Caitlin, and I know she's going to do amazing things there at Arizona. And I'm so, so happy she got that job. And she's a competitor. She wants to win, and I'm a competitor and I want to win. And at the end of the day, you know, after the game, you know, we're colleagues again. We're friends again. And so I just, you know, I love seeing her across the field. I'm super pumped for her.
Yeah. I think I just love even hearing you. I feel like everyone says that about each other. Like she says that about you, you say that about her, which is also one of my favorite things, you know, because it's like, oh, it's all mutual because everybody at the end of the day has the same goal of just wanting not only to help the sport, but help women, you know, like it's like, hey, we're all on the same page here, which is always good.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I learned this very quickly, you know, when I was working at LAPD, when I had, I learned the most from my female training officers than I did my male training officers. And, you know, I've learned so much from mentors, you know, of this game and pushing us to be better, to grow and be supportive. Why would you want to tear down another woman, you know? Totally. You know, empower them to be successful because that just makes our game great, even greater.
Yes, completely agree. Completely. We're better together, right? Like that's
absolutely.
Totally agree. And honestly, this makes me think about too, you know, 50th anniversary of Title IX and how these opportunities, and we're even able to talk about this, this show's even a thing, right?
Right.
Because of something like that. So just what is Title IX meant to you?
Yeah, man, I am a product of Title IX, and the opportunities that I have been given that my mother did not have is incredible. When I sit back and kind of process it and think about it, like I've got my education paid for. She didn't. You know, she got to play high school basketball, but she had to dribble 5 times and then had to pass the ball. It was the rule back then. And she, you know, she definitely didn't have the opportunities that I have of, you know, getting my name, you know, on a glove, getting my name on a bat, traveling the world, some of the places that I've been able to go to, be on TV and, you know, coach an incredible game that I love so much. You know, she didn't have that. And she's the women who have paved the way for myself and, you know, the athletes now, we owe them the world. We owe them so much to be able to have what we have. You know, we have four sets of uniforms where teams in the 70s used volleyball's uniforms, you know, when they were done with their season. And so we're incredibly blessed and lucky.
We are. It's, I think, a good reminder too, right? Because obviously we're always trying to push forward. We're always trying to continue to excel and reach new heights. But these, I think, are good opportunities to kind of reflect on how we got here. And so to, I guess to you, it's like, how important is sort of understanding that history, even though we are, of course, always moving forward, but how important is it to really grasp, you know, the journey up to this point?
Yeah, I think that's one thing that our sport can actually get better at is letting these, this younger generation know about the history. Yeah. You know, I'll talk to these guys and say, hey, do you know who Joan Joyce is? No. I'm like, she's like the Babe Ruth of our softball. How do you not know that? Everybody knows Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not know Joan Joyce? You know, the Ray Bestis breakettes. Do you know who they are? No. I'm like, they're like the Yankees. You know the Yankees. So how do you not know about your Yankees, you know, in your sport? You know, the Mickey Davis, the Sue Inquest, you know, all of these people, Diane Schumacher. I mean, all these All-Americans who put this sport on the map, you know, how do you not know about these people? And I think we have to do a better job. I don't know what the right answer is about how to do that outside of, you know, I'll make my athletes, you know, write to our alumni if they play the same position or the same number that they wear. That's
love
kind
that.
Of, you know, something I took from Hutch at Michigan.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know exactly how to do that, but that's one thing where our sport, we can get better at, is the history.
I agree with you, because there's so much there. There's so much. And we don't always realize that, right? But so not to throw them under the bus, but I did travel with Stanford softball to regionals in Tuscaloosa. Nice. And at one point, you know, everyone's there, the team, coaches, the whole staff, watching some of the other games going on in regionals. Liberty was playing, right? Dot Richardson, she's on camera doing an interview, right? And so Coach Alster asks, kind of pulls the room, hey, who knows who Dot Richardson is? And I like shoot my hand up. She's like, you don't count. I'm asking the player. I'm like, okay, sorry. But nobody really knew. And it was like, oh, crushed me. So then I obviously had to give my little spiel. But, you know, Coach Alster was like, okay, she's one of the best. You need to know who she is, right? And those little examples. And I think that people coming up in softball like that, they're hungry for that stuff too. Like, I think they want to know that information.
Right.
So let's just figure out a way to give it to them.
And like, and this probably is, you know, goes to the Stanford players because they're so like brilliant. She's a doctor. She's a doctor. She like went through her residency and did all of that while training for the Olympics.
Totally.
I mean, I remember like being on an airplane and she's like studying. And I remember, you know, incredible. And she just, what that woman has done for our sport is amazing. I mean, nothing short but amazing. And she, that woman's energy, I swear to you, can you imagine her as a doctor? And she's like, I'm walking on sunshine. And she like, you know, does her, she just, the energy that she has, I love it. I love being around Dottie. She's awesome.
I still have a signed ball from her from when I was a kid. I think because my number was one. Actually, it was because I was just young and like the smallest on the team when I was little. So I ended up getting number one. Thankfully grew since then. But I was number one. I played shortstop growing up, right? So I was like, oh, love her, you know? And so I still have that ball. And it means a lot. And I think we want that to continue, right? And
yeah. For sure.
I think the new stars are awesome. Love it. Love that people want Mariah's autograph, right? But like we also, Mariah exists today because of people like Dot.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. Jocelyn Allo exists because of Sheila Cornell Doughty.
Totally.
You know, who can just flat out hit the ball. She's probably the farthest ball I think I've ever seen, her and Bustos. But, you know, Doughty, I consider myself very lucky because Doughty and Lisa, my first year on the team, took me right under their wings. And I remember being in Canada and watching movies and staying and watching film. And, you know, this is how you are when you wear this uniform. And I was very, very lucky to have those guys kind of take me under their wing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how it gets. They paid it forward in that way too, paid it back. Yes. And you did that, right? And then it just kept going. And that's the point. That's like that chain, I guess, or whatever you want to call it, that continues. That was another thing I was going to ask you is like, what were, you mentioned some, obviously some great ones, but who were other women that you looked up to?
Oh gosh. Martha Nofsinger. O'Kelly is her married name. Martha was the shortstop at Fresno State.
Yeah.
I played with her sister. And so she came to our games here in Colorado. Shelly Stokes was a catcher at Fresno State. Those were two. I remember begging my mother to stay home from school to be able to watch them on TV. It was early morning game and it was airing, I don't know, 8 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And I was so devastated when my mom said no. She's a teacher, so she's not likely to let me miss school. But yeah, she said no ultimately. But I remember watching those two and just being like, oh my gosh, I want to be like them. Lisa Fernandez, we're the same age. But when she was a freshman in college, I was a freshman in high school. And okay. So I watched her all through college. And I just remember I caught in high school, which is weird for a left-handed outfielder. And I remember just thinking, I want one time to catch Lisa. Just one time to be able to catch Lisa Fernandez.
And you did, right?
I never caught her. I was always behind her in the outfield, yes.
Well, that's not a bad place to be either.
It's not at all. Not at all. To see her balls move, you know, and her changeup that she had, it was fun to watch.
That's what I'm saying. Like people, I've seen some, like, you know, once in a while, some old clips will pop up and it's like, everyone needs to see Lisa Fernandez's changeup, for example. Oh, everyone needs to witness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lisa, you know, she's such a competitor. If she doesn't beat you physically, she's going to beat you mentally. Mm-hmm. And she prepares for it. I remember, you know, standing in the box, you know, when she's getting ready to warm up for the game and, you know, on the side of the field. And she's not pitching at 43 feet. She's pitching at 46 feet. So when she gets into the game, she's going to feel like she's on top of you and she's got an edge over you.
Right.
And so, you know, she's going to pick the worst ball out of the bucket and learn how to pitch with that because you never know what you're going to get when you're on that mound.
Oh,
and so, yeah, she was always ready for everything.
Yeah. This reminds me of another USA girl that you coached, but Rachel Garcia talking about the champ camps that they would do at UCLA. Basically that. It's like throw on every layer you have, pick the worst ball, make the hardest workout possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because that's what creates a champion. So that's the champ camp, you know, and but I think sometimes, because there are certain elements like that to me where it's like, yeah, that might feel a little bit more old school if someone today is looking at that. But I think those things are important for us to know. Again, like I think those still serve and will continue to, that type of thing anyway.
Right. It's that mentality of being ready to compete under no matter what circumstances is going to be put in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, you can't control a whole lot of things in this game, but you can control how you handle situations. You can't control your attitude and you can control your energy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, it's funny hearing you talk about people that you looked up to, because for me and my generation, like it was you and your teammates. Oh. Right. So it's, and that's the point. That's the point, right? Like that's what it should be. But not just me, but just for other people you're coaching, all of those things, people that came after you, like, what do you hope they take away from you in the same way that you took certain things away from those people you just mentioned?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is, you know, the passion. If you're going to do something, go all out. You know, there's no halfways. There's no 75%. It's all out at anything in life, you know? If you're in a relationship, you know, as a sibling, as a coach, as a teacher, as a police officer, whatever, you know, route that you go, give it everything you got and be passionate about it. Leave your mark. I always ask these guys, what do you want your legacy to be when you're done playing ball? Is it somebody who half-assed going to for a foul ball, or is it somebody who hustled to go and try and catch that? Because your pitcher is on the mound working her butt off to get that hitter to pop up.
Yep.
And so what are you going to do to find a way to catch that ball? You know, what do you want your legacy to be? And, you know, love what you do. Because if you don't love it, don't put that kind of effort into it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair enough, right? It's like the contract you make with yourself, with your teammates, with your coach, like that just... Those are the type of things too, that to me, that's life, you know, like everything else you do. I'm sure you, cause you still work like day to day on the field. Right. But in anything I do now, I still think about all those types of things,
right,
from playing softball.
Right. Right.
It could be completely unrelated to softball and I'm still thinking about softball.
Yeah. And it's not like, you know, I'm going to go out there and work hard because my coach is watching, you know, right. You're going to go out there and work hard because you're watching.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, you're the one with the bat in your hand with the game on the line. Did you put the work in? Can you rely on that? Can you trust that process and rely on it? Because deep down, you know, did I put the work in? Because the game knows.
Yes. The game does know. The game knows those things. And then to me, in other ways, the game doesn't know or ignores certain things like your age or the right. rankings, right? So it's like the game is very selective on what it knows and cares about. And so
right.
focus that's on those things.
That's what makes it so great. And I'll tell these guys, I'm like, the game doesn't care who's across that field.
Nope.
I have yet to see a game won on paper. I have not seen a game won on paper. So you got to go out and play it.
That's very, very true. Well, I want to and could just keep talking to you forever, to be honest. I'm like, you're like, I'm a woman of few words, but I'm like, tell me all the words, you know, I want all the words from you.
Well, but I hope you didn't have to work too hard to try and pull all these words out. So
no, I didn't. This was fantastic. And, you know, when it comes to things, thinking about like Title IX, for example, you know, that's this week and this episode is going to go out on that day for 50 years. And when I think about people that just feel like they represent that so well, you were right at the top of the list.
Thank you. And happy Title IX week.
I know, right? But before I let you go, just a quick game that I do to wrap up with everyone who comes on the show.
Okay.
It's called Safer Out. And, right? Familiar, at least.
Right.
We know what those are. It's basically, I'll bring something up and if you agree with it or you like it, you call it safe. If you don't, then you call it out.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Okay. So first one is putting left-handed players, such as yourself, in positions other than the standard, meaning like other than outfield or first base. Safe or out?
I'm going to go safe because I've seen it happen.
Yeah. Well, I feel like when you said you're like, I was a catcher, I'm like, well, makes sense.
Yeah. No, I've seen a left-handed second baseman and she got it done. She did it at Texas A&M. She did
That's
it.
Awesome.
She's legit. Yeah.
That's awesome.
There's nothing about this game written in stone. And so I'm safe on that.
Yep. Okay. Love that. All right. Good start. Second one is today's scorekeeping, meaning, I don't know about you, but I think it's a little different. So, for example, if a ball's hit hard, but it goes off someone's glove, it's often rewarded a hit versus an error. Safe or out?
Out. If it hits you in the glove, it is an out. If it hits your glove and comes out, it should be caught. I mean, The scorekeeping is very liberal these days.
I agree. I'm like kind of a defensive purist in that way too. Like anytime, like if I'm at Stanford, let's say calling games and maybe the director of operations of the SID will be like, what do you think on that one? I'm always like error.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if it's Stanford or not, like whatever team, you know, because I'm like, they got to make the play, you know?
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
I'm happy that we agree on that. Okay. So that's two. So one safe, one out. Next one is, NIL, or basically student athletes being able to get paid. Safe or out?
Can I do both? Can I do a replay on that?
Yeah, you can do video review. Sure, we can do that.
I think it's great. I think that they should be able to make money off of their name, an opportunity for them to be able to do that. I think it's kind of a little bit of a can of worms that we've opened up, because you have some schools that and rules are different state to state.
Yeah.
So I think we need to put it a little bit more on a level playing field for all of the schools across the country. I hope they can figure that out.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, a lot of people, when I've asked them that, have said, yeah, we need to make sure we do it right, basically, is the theme, like you're saying. Yeah. But the states part is a good point. Like it's just inherently not the same everywhere, right. You know? Right. So that's a really good, really good call out. Okay. Makes sense. And then the last one is bat flips.
Safer. Out, 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 out. If I was a pitcher, I would ear hole them.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? Expect that. I feel like you have to expect that. If you
Yeah. I mean, my parents, like my dad always taught me, you know, act like you've done it before. And, you know, you're going to get a home run. That pitcher is going to want to get you out your next at bat anyways. So why put even more fuel on the fire? Like, just round the bases, get back to your teammates, celebrate in the dugout, and that's it. You know, yeah. I don't like it in softball, and I don't like it in baseball.
So that's a good clarification, because some people have been like, well, if they do it in baseball, we should do it in softball. But it's like, but should they do it in baseball, right? Like,
no. Yeah.
Yep. All right. That's fair. Well, this was a fun one. I wasn't sure. I'm like, am I going to get like outfield Bergie where you're like, get all of them are out, you know, like you're making outs left and right. Or am I getting like hitter right where a lot of them are safe, but it was a mix. It was a mix.
Good. Good. You know, I hope I can be open-minded about things.
Yeah. No, that growth mindset, like you said, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you again for joining. This was seriously awesome. So happy we were able to do this.
Me too. My pleasure. And remember, outfielders rule.
They do. Outies rule. That's true. Yeah. Outies rule. Probably one of my favorite interviews to date. I just cannot say enough about what Laura has done and continues to do for this sport and for women. And after we recorded, she also shared some hot takes with me too about like certain things just in today's game. And I'm going to keep those in the back pocket for next time, because I hope there is a next time to bring her back, because it was awesome. I hope you enjoyed it too. And with that, let's transition to the foul tip of the week. This week's foul tip is about pushing for more. I think it goes without saying that people like Laura have pushed for more in their lives, right? And in their careers. Title IX also pushed for more. Equity, equality, all the things. In both examples, the people behind it, whether it was Laura or the folks and all the women behind Title IX and the men, they had to have some sort of vision of the big picture, understanding what the current state is, what it could be, and how to get there. And for Laura, right, it's not one, not two, but three gold medals. Playing as long as she did, you know, she pushed for more because she could see that. Not just for herself, but for her teammates too, for her country, for the sport. And she took that energy into being a coach. And look what she's doing with Oregon State now. And then for Title IX, it was about opening doors for women that had not only been closed previously, but some women had never even known that they existed or could exist. And when thinking about this foul tip of the week, I actually almost called this asking for more. Because I think it's true. A lot of times in life, there's some sort of gatekeeper that you have to really get the courage to ask for what you want. And we all know that saying, you don't get what you don't ask for, right? And I think about this when it comes to like the pay gap with women in the workforce and how women should ask for more. But I think sometimes we need to do more than just ask. We got to reach out and take it, demand it, push for more. And I think having gratitude for what we have is really important, and understanding what that journey has been like to get here. But when there's a cause that's greater like this, we have to shoot for greater. So that's it. Push for more. That's the foul tip of the week. You've been listening to Believe in Softball, part of the Believe Network and presented by Bet Online. The show is available anywhere you get your podcasts, wherever you listen, including Believe.com. And you can watch the videos on YouTube too. Subscribe, rate, and if you liked it, write a review for the show. I always appreciate your support and we want to know what you think. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Believe in Softball. That's B-L-E-A-V. And you can always reach out to me on Twitter at JennaBecerra01 and Instagram at JennaBecerra as well. As always, thank you for tuning in and catch you soon. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.